Hi, welcome back to your church online. This is another Wednesday evening, and I'm glad to come your way once again. Last week, we took off powerfully, and I believe that you were marvelously blessed. My name is Reverend E.K., and like I said, this is our midweek service. After Sunday, you will need another dosage of the Word of God to help you. Very important, to help you to stay afloat. You need it. You see, just like your parents go for midweek service. For me, I am bringing the service into your house, all right, so that you will be able to have a dosage. Okay, just one dosage like this is not enough on Sunday, but we need more of the Word of God, more of the Word of God. And then I also want to tell you that in case you are not able to listen to it live, what it is that you can show up later to listen. So subscribe. Okay, and share the link to your friend. Put this link in your class page where you are. I know you are the class prefect, you are the cupboard boy, you are the school prefect, whoever you are. Put this link on your class page and let your classmate follow this page. All of you, follow this YouTube page and come to service every Wednesday. So I believe by now you have come back from school, you have done your homework. You are about to eat or you have eaten. It's 7 o'clock. You should finish eating by now. And you are relaxing. I can see that you are holding juice and popcorn and things as you are listening to me this evening. But it's a blessing to come your way once again. And I'm excited to share the Word of God with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity in your presence. I pray, oh God, that let your word touch our heart and let your word give us light and understanding. Father, thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Bless your children and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Beautiful. And so last week, if you join us, we were looking at your role as a Christian, your role as a church member, as you have joined the church. What is your role? What role do you play? Okay, what is your responsibility? Because you can't be part of the church and you don't have any responsibility. You need to do something for God. God is expecting you to do something as you are in the church. God is expecting you to be part of the church. God is expecting you not to be a spectator, because spectators are not rewarded. As a matter of fact, even at the stadium, it's the spectators who pay to go and watch those who are playing, the partakers. And then at the end of the day, the partakers are paid, not the spectators. And so if you are expecting a blessing from God, if you are expecting that God will help you and God will give you a certain type of blessing, then you must play a role. There must be something that you do or you are doing for God. And God is always looking for people to do things for him. I'm telling you. And the more you do something for God, the more important you become. May God help you. And may God help you also to become important as you do something for him in Jesus' name. Amen. And so last week, we said that your first rule is that you must be a faithful attendee. Always, always attending every type of service. Evening service, conventions, all night prayer meetings as a child. If you can attend any time your children's church is coming up with a program, don't absent yourself. If your children's church has a program, don't absent yourself. And you see, any time people absent themselves from, let's say, church service, something happens spiritually. What is that? You will see that at the time the service is going on and the time you are at home, usually when you look at it carefully, you don't do anything fruitful, or you even end up sinning as the service is going on. And so I think that it is very important that you tell yourself, you train yourself, okay, to be faithful when it comes to church activities. Then number two, we also learned that you must be a stable Christian, a very stable Christian. I'm telling you, we are looking for people who are stable. Stable relationship with God, not tossed to and fro. Today you are here, tomorrow you are here, next week you have switched off, The following week, you have come on again. God, tomorrow this. No. It doesn't work that way. God is looking for people who are faithful and who are stable. Be stable. Be stable with God. Be stable with God. Don't allow anything to come between you and God, young people. The devil is fighting for your attention. Seriously. The devil is trying to make everything possible to take you away from God. But don't allow that to, don't allow it. Never allow it. Stick and stay with God. Stick and stay with God. Never allow the devil to have upper hand. Don't make God feel that he's a second option. No. And then the third thing we looked at before we closed last week's service was that you must pay your tithe. And I told that this is what people don't like. If people hear that, oh, so pastors like money. And people don't joke with money. People don't joke with money. You see, people don't joke with money because, you see, one of the things that was compared with the devil, not with the devil, with God, was money, and not even the devil. Let me say it again. What was compared to God, okay, the opposite of God is not the devil. The opposite of God is money. It's money. So Bible said that ye cannot serve two masters. Charlie, look for that scripture for me. You cannot serve two masters. Okay? And he said that you will love one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. And so money is a very powerful force. Money. Very, very powerful force. And so people will do anything for money. That is why when money is involved, people talk anyhow. When money is involved, pastors are being bashed here and there. The church is seen as a money-making. People think that the church is a money-making machine. No, that is not it. It is God that touches people's hearts to give. I'm telling you. And you see, when you get to a certain stage of your life, you will see that as for the giving, you will give. But who you give to also matters. And quickly today, let's say quickly today, it will take us to our fourth point, which says that your next role is to give offerings. Tithes are different from offerings. Number four, your fourth role is to give offering. Yes. Look, if you want a correct blessing, if you want God to bless you, look, I have seen it practical. When they say God has blessed somebody, okay, God has blessed you. Every aspect of your life is blessed. When people see you, they can see that indeed this guy is blessed. Indeed this boy is blessed. This girl is blessed. I'm telling you, God can bless you. So in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, please get me in that scripture. Luke chapter 6 verse 38, it said, give and it shall be given to you. Press down. Shaking together, running over, give. Look at it. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Good measure. God will give you good measure. Press down. Have you seen Aglima that we have pressed it down before? Press down. Shaking together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Hallelujah. The same measure. You see, let me tell you. I am preaching these things because it's important and it will help you. Every church, I'm telling you, there's either a sausage seller, there's a yogurt seller, a popcorn seller. What other sellers do we have? Ice cream sellers. All of them, every church, Sunday, they all come to the church and they sell. Now, these people, they are the robbers of your offering. Because your parents give you offering, and then you end up using those money to buy suya. You buy yogurt. And even the yogurt you are buying, the spring rolls, they fried it since morning, and it has now lost its taste. That's what you buy. And then popcorn. Drinks have come. Sobolo have come. And so the offering that they gave you, your mother gave you five CDs. Some of you even use one CD to give offering. And then the remaining 4 cedis, you use it for shopping. But you see, let me tell you, what you are doing is that you are stealing from God. You are stealing from God. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9, Bible says that, will a man rob God? Look for that scripture for me. It said, will a man rob God? Young people, if you steal, don't steal from God. God is one of the dangerous person to steal from. So the scripture is, I said, will a man, now you are the man that is there, will a boy rob God? Will a girl rob God? Yet, you have robbed me. But you are also saying that, in what way have we robbed you? And God is saying that, you robbed me in tithes and in offerings. Come on. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. You have robbed me. Give me another version of this scripture. Give me NLT or King James. NLT or Message. This one, he said, should people cheat God? Should people cheat God? He said, yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? If God is saying you have, he said, what do you mean? He said, when did we ever cheat you? And God says that you have cheated me of the tithe and the offering due to me. Ash. You are cheating God. You are cheating God. Look at Mercy. He said, begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. God is serious. He said, you rob me Sunday after Sunday. Sunday, every Sunday when they give you offering, you rob me. And then you ask, how have we robbed you? You and your brother, you are asking, how have we robbed God? And God is saying that you have robbed me. The tithe and the offering, that's how you rob me. The tithe and the offering is how you have robbed me. So we rob God. We rob God. We are stealing from God every Sunday. Every Sunday, your parents gave you offering. Some of you, they gave you 10 cedis. If you look at them and say, no, this 10 cedis I'm going to give you to God, it's too much. It's too much, it's too much, it's too much. And then even some of you, your parents, it's like they don't think that it is important for them to give you 10 cedis to church. Oh, go and look for the coin. The charcoal that we bought, You see, so then any dirty money is what you think is due God. No. God also need the first and the best, which is your tithe. And God is also interested in your offering. We heard about Cain and Abel. And Bible said that, God rejected Cain's offering. He rejected it. Do you understand? God rejected it. It's very important. God, when God doesn't like it, he will reject it. If he likes it, he will accept it. And so your offering is very, very important. Learn to give offering. As you are growing up, learn to give offering. Don't go to church empty-handed. Go with offering. Remind your parents, oh, mommy, I'm going to church. I need an offering. Daddy, I'm going to church. I need an offering. When I was growing up, I grew up with grandma. Now, every Sunday, grandma comes out. And then I think we were about 10 or so in the house. Look, everybody, your offering. She will arrange it on the table. And it's a brand new note. Even if it is one CD, brand new. She will arrange it on the table. And she says that, if you are going to church, take and go. If you know that day you don't go to church, the offering is there. And that's how she gets to know who went to church and who didn't go. Because your offering is there. You can't even spend the offering. But the generation where we have now, people can spend your offering. You can buy boat float and yogurt. You are shopping. But when it comes to offering, you don't want to give. God is interested in your offering. Because of offering, God rejected somebody. I don't want God to reject you. He said, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. He had not respect. And Cain was very raw, and his countenance fell. Give us another version. Yes. No, I don't like NLT. Give me NLT. give me NLT. He said, but Cain and his offering. Okay, NLT says that, but he did not accept Cain and his offering. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. So God can actually reject your offering. But I pray that God will not reject your offering. Your role is that bring your offering, bring your tithe, bring your offering, bring your money, bring your money. Can a man serve two masters? Which one are you serving? Are you serving God or you are serving the money? Do you see? And so I want you to grow up knowing that it is better to serve God than to serve money. Very important. Next one. Your fourth rule. Yes, your fourth rule is to give your offering. Your fifth rule, I like number five. He said, your fifth rule is to make your talent and gift available to the church. Your talent and gift, make them available to the church. Yes, some of you are very gifted. Very, very gifted. Small boy, 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, you are very gifted. You can play the piano, you can play drums, you can sing. You see, it is only in church that things don't work. And I can tell you, it's very true. It is only in church things don't work. The sound in the church is not working, all right? Even when you look at the, if you look at the gospel industry, all right, this gospel music and things, if you look at the videos, as if somebody used his phone camera to take the videos. But if you look at these other people, this area, see people who are shooting the videos, and very clear sound. So it looks as though we are not serious in the church. So your talent and your gift, if you are looking at me, you're going to join your school cadet. You have gone to join your school choir for graduation. But you cannot join your church choir. Why? You have gone to join reading club, maths and science club. You even want them to make you the president. Friends of the Earth, geography club. I don't know what this debate club and all that. But when you come to church, you don't want to join anything in the church. It's very serious. Very, very, very serious. And so I put it to you. I want you to join something. Join a group. You have a gift. There is no way you will say you don't have a gift. Yes. Everybody has at least one gift. Yeah. Look for the parable of the man who was traveling and he gave talent to his servant. Look for that scripture for me. He said, a man was traveling and he gave one 5 talent to another 3 talent or something like that. Then another 1 talent. Do you understand? Bible says he called his servant. He was traveling to a very far country and he called his servant and he delivered unto them his goods. Okay, one version was saying goods. Another one also says talent. He gave them talent. All right. Now, Matthew 25, very good. Matthew 25, verse 40. For the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of heaven, is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods. Yes, next one. And to one he gave 5 talents. Yes. And to another 2. And to another 1. To each according to his own ability. Now, be here. Now, what you see, he called them. It is not recorded anywhere here that he didn't give anybody anything. Everybody has at least 1 talent. Everybody, all the 7, 1 he gave 5, 1 he gave 2, and the other he gave 1. And Bible said that according to his own ability. So there are people in the church who have 5 talents. There are people in the church who have 2 talents. And there are people in the church who have only 1 talent. Look, in the church, we can have people who can sing, they can dance, they can play a musical instrument. These same people, they can recite so many things. I mean, they are all round. If you look at them, they are all round. They can do so many things. Then we also have people who can do a few things. They can't do everything. They can do a few things. Okay? Then we have people who can only do 1 thing. Just like your school. Look, we have people. When I was in school, I had a classmate. This girl can be first in everything, including French. can be first. Even Ghan, French and Ghan, it's like day and night, but she can be first here and be first here. She can be first in everything. Those people are there. Then we have people who can be first in few subjects. Then there are people who can only be first in one subject. It's like, for me, I'm here for Ashanti Tree. Okay, I can only be first in Tree, or I can be first in PE, or I can be first in RMB. That's the only thing they can be first in. Yes. So everybody has at least one talent. And God has blessed you with a talent. Some of you can dance, but the only place you can dance is at the funeral. Mr. Wusu had died. They didn't invite you for the funeral. You have gone for the funeral, and you are dancing. And people are spraying money on you. Are you not afraid to go and dance as somebody who has died's funeral? It's a problem. It's a serious problem that you have not thought about. Is that not it? Yes. So everybody has at least one talent. Everyone you see, there's a talent the person has. There is something the person has. And we are saying that your role is to make your talent and your gift available. Make your talent available. Make your gift available. God has blessed you. Eh? Understand? God has blessed you. Ekuya, God has blessed you with a gift. You can sing. But you know, if you come to church, you have to clap. You have to clap. Pour libation, coerce you before you come and sing. But your school, you don't do that. Your school graduation, you willingly look at you. You have gone to join cadet. You can't march, but you have gone to join cadet, hoping that they'll teach you how to march and salute in cadet. But when it comes to church and we say, join something and learn, it's a problem. When it's time for rehearsals, your mother will tell us that you are going to learn Spanish, so they are taking you to the house. Your Spanish classes teacher is waiting. If we say, come Saturday and come and do rehearsal, your mother said, no, the French teacher has come. Your studies teacher, you even do extra classes. All these classes you do. But look at us. Look at us. I want you to make your gift and your talent available. There are so many things you can do in the church. One of the days, I will share with you 30 things you can do in the church. 30 things. Some of you can become ushers. Some of you can control. Some of you can even control the social media for your children's church. As church is going on, you are taking pictures. Some of you can do sound. Some of you can do video. Your church. You have a phone at home. You can look at what I'm doing here. You can come and control video. You can control light. You can be an usher. All right. You can attend to first timers. You can visit people in their homes. You can be part of the prayer group. There are so many things you can do. I'm telling you. There are so many things you can do. And I believe that if you put your strength in that, God is going to help you. So your role is to make your talent and your gift available to the church. Make it available. Bring your gift to the church. Some of you can talk. You can talk. You can explain things. You can do things. Yes. So why is it that when it is time to do those things, you don't want to do it? You should be able to do it. Number six. After number six, then we'll go to number seven, then we'll close. Number six, your seat role in the church is to know your pastors and to love the pastors and to respect your pastors. People don't respect pastors, though. People don't use pastors for anything. When it is church, it's a problem. Like I'm telling you, I consciously have to preach this because when it's church, it's a problem. When it is church, it's a problem. Know your pastors. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Look for 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. We beseech you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Know your pastors. No, you must have a pastor. You must have a pastor. Dear classes child, the way you have a class teacher, you must have a pastor. I'm telling you, you need a pastor. A pastor is not a want. A pastor is a need. You need him. You need somebody to be praying for you. You need a pastor. You see, don't let the devil make you that. Oh, come on, the pastor too is a human being. I am reading a book currently, and the title of the book is The Pitfall of Familiarity. Hey, how people can equalize. How people can, it's like, oh, the pastor too is a human being. Yeah, no, but nobody is saying pastor is a spirit. Do you understand? Yeah, but as you are growing up, you see, at a certain stage of your life, yeah, you will need a pastor. I've been saying this story and I'll say it again. One day, I was sleeping. This was a Thursday. Was it a Thursday or was it a Friday? It happened twice. But this particular one I'm talking about, it happened on a Friday night. Friday night, I was sleeping. This was around 11 p.m. And then I had a call. So when I had a call, the person said, do you remember me? I said, no, I don't remember you because I don't have your contact. He said, oh, I am so-and-so. I said, so-and-so from where? He said, oh, I went to secondary school with you. I said, yeah, I remember. Then he said, what's up? I said, I did. He said, my guy, Moro, Ademare Moro. So this is my classmate from SHS who called me. He said, Ademare Moro. I said, okay. Because that guy after secondary school, he never called me. When we're in secondary school, what he does is that he used to mock us. If you go to SU and we are praying, he will come and stand at the window. Then he will shout, shabalabalabalabalabalaba. Then he will run away. He will go and laugh, shabalabalabalaba. Then he will run away. Then he will laugh. So anytime he said that, he will shout, shabalabalabalaba, people. Then he has this bad way of laughing. Look, that laughter, when he does it, it's so irritating. Fast forward, we completed the school, we left, we came, and then here he was calling me that he was going to marry on Saturday. So when he called me, I was wondering why he was calling me if you're going to marry on Saturday. Number one, you were not my friend when we were in school. Number two, after school, we never communicated. Why are you calling me? And it's 11 p.m., Friday evening, 11 p.m. Why are you calling me to do that you're going to marry? I said, okay. Then he said that. He said something that really broke my heart. He said, my guy, as I'm preparing to marry and everything, it was just right now that my father was asking me which pastor was coming to bless the marriage. Apparently, he doesn't go to church. The girl he was also married to doesn't go to church. Then it looks like he doesn't have a pastor. Then he said that he remembered that when we were in school, there was some SU guy who used to do SU and pray. And he collected my number from somebody. And now he has called me. And then he's asking that, please, can I come tomorrow to come and bless his marriage? I said, oh. He said, look, I beg. I know get pastor. And I said, where is the marriage taking place? He said, Ibri. I stay at Kasua. How to drive from Kasua to Ibri? So I said, okay. And then I hung up. After 5 minutes, he called again. Then he said, my guy, I won't know say you agree, say you go come. It's like he wants to be sure that I'll be coming. I said, oh, I go there, I will come. So I left home very early on the Saturday morning, drove up the hill to Ibri. When the guy saw me, his face changed. I mean, he was so excited. As the ceremony was going on, he kept looking around whether I have left or I was still around. You see, and I said to myself, you need a pastor. You need a pastor. You need to know a pastor. One day you come to a certain point in your life that you will need a pastor. You must know a pastor. Just as you need a policeman, you know a teacher, you know a lawyer, you know a doctor, you must know a pastor. Number next, you must respect your pastor. Yeah. You must respect. Oh, you didn't give me that scripture. Yes. He said, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor, recognize them. When you see a pastor, it's even taking us to the next one. Give me verse 13 of this one. Verse 13. He said, to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among you. Esteem your pastors. Respect pastors. People don't respect pastors. People, you know, we are not saying we are anything, you know. We are not saying we are anything, but respect your pastor. People have a strong disdain, a strong disrespect for pastors. Respect your pastors. Then the next one, he said, believe in your pastors. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. If you are going to do well, you are going to prosper. You see, sometimes when we quote the scriptures, people think that, he's quoting the scripture to frighten us, No, that is not the thing. You see, prioritize God's word above everything. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. 2 Chronicles 20, he said, hear, O Judah. Hear, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and ye shall be established. Look at the second part. And he said that, believe in his prophets, believe in his pastors, believe in his evangelists, believe in his apostles, believe in his teachers, and ye shall prosper. So your prosperity somewhere, somehow, is linked to your respect and your belief for your pastors. And then number four, the fourth thing you must do is to pray for your pastors. Look, we need prayers. Oh. We need prayers. Pastor, me, as I sit here, I know my life. I know how far God has brought me. And I think that I need prayers. When you go down on your knees to pray, give me one paragraph. When you go down on your knees to pray, give me one paragraph. Give me 2 minutes of that prayer. I would like it. Pray for pastors. Pray, I'm telling you, pray for pastor. Pray for your pastor. When you kneel down to pray, say a prayer for your pastor. I am telling you. Paul said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. This is Paul speaking. Give me that scripture. This is Paul speaking. And Paul is saying that, brethren, pray for us. If Paul is saying that they should pray for them, who am I? Brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. He said, brethren, comma, pray for us. Pray for us. I also need prayer. When you go on your knees, pray for us. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Look at that scripture for me again. And 2 Thessalonians, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us. Finally. Finally means that at the end of everything, pray for us. Finally, brethren, pray for us. That the word of God may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Yes. Brethren, pray for us. And then finally, your last role is to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Your last role is that you must be a fruit-bearing Christian. We have so many people who don't bear any fruit. You don't bear fruit. Invite, when we say that you are a fruit-bearing Christian, a test for your maturity in Christ is fruit-bearing. You cannot stay as a baby forever. You can, even 12 years, you can invite your friends to church. Yes, come to my church, you see. Children are inviting children to church. Children are organizing buses and putting their friends on it and bringing them to church. And so you can do the same thing. You can, you see, sometimes it's your parents. Hey, now, don't go out. They are kidnapping people. They are killing people. Hey, I've heard that they said this and that. He said, look at John chapter 15, verse 6. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. God is looking for people who bear fruit. God is looking for people. He said that you didn't choose me. You didn't choose me. Listen, I want you to know that you didn't choose God. God chose you. God chose you, and God is expecting that you will bear fruit. And so that fruit that God is expecting from you, why is God not getting the fruit? Let us bear fruit. Talk to your friends. You have a lot of people in your class who don't know God. Talk to them. Share Christ with your friends. Share Jesus Christ with your friends. Talk to your friends about Jesus Christ. Talk to your classmates. Talk to the people in your compound house about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, these are the things you do to show that you are bearing fruit. May God be with you. And may you, he said, and whatever you ask in my name, he shall give it to you. If you bear fruit, whatever you ask in my name, he shall give it to you. This evening, I leave you with the presence of God. This evening, I leave you with God's presence. I leave you with the angels of Christ. May the angels visit you tonight. May you encounter angelic visitation. I pray for you that God will come through for you. That God will help you. May you be blessed. May you be anointed. May you be a fruit-bearing Christian. May you be somebody whose talent and gifts are available to do the work of God. I pray that all the days of your life, it shall be well. You will do well. In Jesus' name. God bless you for joining. I want to pray with you. Close your eyes wherever you are. Maybe you are watching me. You are not born again. You are not born again. You are living a life. Gideon, you are living a life. Theophilus, you are living a certain life that your parents are complaining, your teachers are complaining. Equia, you are living the life that everybody is complaining, everybody is fed up with you. Whatever is happening, you yourself, you don't even know what is happening to you. But tonight, I want to present Christ to you. I want to present Christ to you. I want to show you a man who can change your life forever. And that man is called Jesus Christ. That man can come through for you. This man can change your life and can make you a better person. Wherever you are not born again. Listen, the fact that you have a Christian name doesn't mean you are born again at all. I want to lead you to Christ. I want to show you a man who can change your life forever. Close your eyes wherever you are and say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, please I come to you just as I am. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please, Lord, have mercy on me. Please, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Please, write my name in the book of life. I am for you and you alone. In Jesus' name. Satan, listen to me. I am not for you. I am for Christ and Christ alone. He's my master. He's my savior. I will serve him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for your children tonight, this Wednesday evening, that as we retire to bed, may your spirit be upon us. May your glory be upon us. May you help us in Jesus' name. May we sleep in safety and wake up in safety. I pray for your children that we cast out sicknesses and diseases. We come against premature death. We come against evil orchestration and utterances concerning our lives in the name of Jesus. Bless the little ones. Bless the young ones. Let your covering be upon them. Help them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you so much for joining. It's been exciting having you on this Wednesday. And I believe that God willing next week, we shall meet again. It's a blessing having you. So like I said, share, like, subscribe, so that anytime it's time for the service, you just get the notification. And then, so don't forget, every Wednesday at 7 p.m., every Wednesday at 7 p.m., I will come your way and have this service with you. So call a friend and call a friend. Next week, bring somebody to church. Next week, Wednesday, bring somebody to church. This is your church. This thing I'm doing is your church. I am your pastor. This is your church. I'm here with you. I'm leading you to, I'm going to pastor you. I'm going to pastor you, and you are going to be a proper Christian, and you are going to be a correct Christian in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week. Bye.